Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. I think we are connected. It's a blessing to be sharing with you during the month of sharing. If you need a Bible, we have ushers in the aisles who can provide that to you. Everybody needs the sword. This is what we use. I'm just thankful to be among you this morning. I know there is a lot going on in our world, a lot, and we need this. We need his direction. We need him guiding, leading us. And so today, I am going to finish out, believe it or not, what we have been talking about for these past few weeks, spiritual architecture and design for life. Our desire is not only for God, Yahweh, to build our life, but we tend to need him to rebuild. Because who doesn't make mistakes along the way? Who hasn't made a mistake? I want to know you. I want to know what you're doing. We've made mistakes. We're fallible. But the beauty is that we have an example of what he does. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And even the children of Israel, who he had been giving them everything, providing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And what did they do with it? It's still what? Made mistakes. They would be blessed for a minute and then they go on their own way and do their own thing. So he had a way that he wanted them to walk in so they wouldn't have to keep on bumping their heads. And that's what we do sometimes. I believe the seasoned or the mature folk that are in the house used to have a saying. You go into the university of hard knocks, meaning you haven't learned that you don't have to keep bumping your head all the time. And so we went to Ephesians, the second chapter, and if you'll go there with me, and that's what we do. We navigate through this word, we exegete it, we talk about it, we examine it, we get understanding, because the word says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. I'm a professional student. When I took me 10 years to graduate from college. I keep telling y'all that. And I graduated, thank you, Lordy. 10 years, you know, just trying to get through it, working part-time, whatever, whatever, whatever. So if anybody knows how to study, I'm that dude. And what I did was when I became, and I want to say this, my relationship was forged out of me getting older. And, you know, I was brought up in the church. But I wasn't going through nothing, you know. So as a kid and as a little teenager, you get baptized when you're 9 years old. What you know about life at 9 years old? Did somebody know about the ins and outs of life at nine? I did not. So that when I got 19, I was like, let me kick up my heels for a minute. And I kicked them up. Who's a heel kicker? We all kicked him up. Don't be ashamed. Y'all trying to hide it, just admit it. I was a heel kicker. That's your testimony. Some of y'all kicked them way high. You were high steppers. And so that's what, you know, I did. But as time went on, as I went through things, I was like, man, you know what? I think I need to call on this relationship that I kind of left back here. And then through walking with him, I forged a relationship for myself. This is not about religion. This is not about tradition. I just go to church because my grandmama went to church. This is about relationship. You got to be connected yourself. Tell your neighbor, you got to do this for yourself. We got to do this for ourselves. You can't fake this thing. See, you can fake it when you come to church with all your little finery on. That's why I had y'all start coming casual, because it was like, Just because you dressing up and trying to look good, that's some kind of thing that you're putting on. But reality is, what you going to do when you step out in them streets and you need agreement or you got a situation? So this is about your relationship. Say it's about my relationship. And so if we go to Ephesians, the second chapter, the 10th verse, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua, under good works. So when you became saved, when you came to this life, you were supposed to be about this life. When you were in your previous life, does anybody remember their previous life? The way you used to live? You was about that life, weren't you? You had it down. It was like, okay, you know, Friday night, we about to do this. Tuesday night, we gonna go do this, right? Red onion, bits and apple. You know you all, right? What is that other place with the floor that lit up? Y'all know what that was. Carolina West. Where was we kicking it, babe, for a minute there? Savannah West. Yes, I did. Basel said, you didn't take her with you. I was like, we kicked up our heels for a minute. Because remember, we was dating for 10 years before we even got married. I'm sorry, you thought something different was going on. We got a testimony. I mean, come on. So, but that's what you was about what? You was about that life. But when you decided to change and commit yourself to this life, then he's expecting you to be about this life. Anybody about this life, this new life? New life. And so it says, so we've been created unto a different thing, unto good works, which Yahweh God hath before ordained that we should what? So he's like, okay, this is the new way of walking. Walk in this, do this. And if you do this, you're going to be successful. So we found out that there were a lot of things at stake in this new walk. So it's not just one thing. This walk affects every aspect of your life. And so we had that up there. Do you have the list of things that are kind of affected if we don't do this? And we said the kingdom is at stake. Our lives are at stake. Our health, our family, our church, our future, your destiny, your purpose, knowledge foundation, your mind, your thinking, your skills, your character, your integrity, and your finances. All this stuff is affected if you don't get this walk right. This is serious stuff. This is everything. So if you mess up, you're not messing up in just one area, but it has an effect on everything. It's like a domino effect. And so you got to understand that. So we've been made to walk in a right way. And if we do that, then all aspects of our life will start to come together. Hallelujah. So let's go to Nehemiah, because this is what we found out in Nehemiah, or Nehemiah. You know, we love to use the Hebrew names here because they have meaning. They are the OG names. That is why we use Yeshua, because that is the name that he was called when he was born. The English folk tried to change that in 1611, but if all of the emphasis was put on the name and names, then why would we stray away from the original? the OG. And Yeshua means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. Hallelujah. And that is why we're here today. Okay, so Nehemiah, and let's go to the fourth chapter, sixth verse. And so the children are coming back. The children of Israel are coming back to their hometown, right? They're coming back to the city of Jerusalem, and the city is all torn up. It's been years since they've been gone, and now they're coming back. The walls are all burnt out. The gates are all burned out. And so now they're coming to do something. They're coming to rebuild it. And so the fourth chapter and the sixth verse says, so we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. They could not do it alone. It was a community effort. They were rebuilding together. And it says, and they did that for the people had a what?
Mind.
This is not going to work until you make up your mind. Some of us still are thinking about the glory days. You know, I used to do this. And oh, well, what a good time we had. Well, what about the good time we're supposed to be having right now? What about all of the overflow and the blessings and all the things we should be experiencing right now? And you looking back on your old life like it was good, like it was everything. Well, did you look back upon your hangovers? And you throwing up in the street? And the other crazy stuff that happened because you were out there? You know, even partying is only good for, listen, you can only get on that floor and break it down so many times. And then,
come on.
Then what you gonna do? Right? And so this is about living this life. And so the people had to make up their minds. This is what we want. And so they were rebuilding their community. And so we had a map of all the gates that they had to rebuild. Now, this is the crazy part about it, or the beautiful part. Thank you, Steve. You would think that, okay, well, what's the big deal? They were just building the stuff up. But Nehemiah was very specific on all of the gates that had to be built up. And he described each gate in the third chapter. Why would he do that? Because each gate had a significance to your salvation, to the way we walk. It spoke to different aspects. And so in the study, this is the last study, but this is number 20, because we've talked about so much. There are 10 gates. And so I can't break each gate down today because we've already done that. But I encourage you to get the media on it at the end of service if you just so desire. But there was the sheep gate was the first one, then the fish gate, then the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, forest gate, the east gate, and the inspection gate. And we found out that the sheep gate spoke to us understanding that Yeshua was the only way in. This was the only gate that was anointed. And this is where they brought in the sacrifice. And they were like, listen, this is, you got to understand that he's the only way in. He's the only way. Say it, he's the only way.
He's the only way.
Buddha, Krishna. That's not the way. And so there are some religions that want to tell you that, oh, it doesn't make any sense. But there's only one way.
Come on.
Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. But the fish gate talked to us about being followers of him. And then if we do that, then we draw others. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The old gate was the understanding that, listen, in this day and age, people want to change the word. You can't change the word. The word is a word. That's a foundation. Now, I might put the word on a screen today, but this is the same what?
Word.
I might tweet the word. I might put it on Facebook or Instagram, but it's still what? The word. So I might change the method of delivery, but I'm not changing the word. Because the word is always the foundation. The value spoke to us. I'm not even moving. Alligate spoke to us. If he's going to keep doing that, give me a microphone.
Test. Test.
Give me that one. Come on, we're going to keep it moving. Enemy trying to break that down. No way. All right. So the Valley Gate talked about that we were going to go through something. Tell your neighbor, we're going to go through something. A lot of saints are discouraged because you got to go through something. The enemy, listen, the enemy is going to do what he's going to do, but we have the victory. Tell your neighbor, we got the victory in every situation. The Dung Gate talked about us eliminating the junk from our lives. That's where they took out the trash. Sometimes we got to eliminate even the people. Hello? Sometimes we got people that we just need to, like, love them from a distance. I love you, but check you later. Who's experienced people trying to bring you? All right, come on, I'm saying. Somebody say hallelujah. And we, you know what? Love you means I don't have, loving you does not mean I need to hang out with you 24/7. Loving you doesn't, hey. That got a little echo in it. All right. So the Dung Gate talked about us eliminating things from our life that don't need to be there. And don't look at it in a negative sense. You look at it that there was a cleansing, going on in our lives. You know, there's just needs to be a purging in us. The Fountain Gate talked about, that was a water source for the city. And anytime you talk about the water, what is that talking about? The Holy Spirit. So it's talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then we talk about the Watergate, which was a spring in that area. And when it talks about springing forth, that's like the word. Hallelujah. And so we got these things operating in our lives, and we need to grab hold of that. The next thing was the Horse Gate. And the Horse Gate talked about us being ready for warfare. Okay. You're a soldier. Tell yourself, I'm a soldier. We got to do this. I mean, we got to fight. Say, I got to fight. And this is the problem, is that saints don't want to fight. But listen, I got to fight. This is a situation. Why? Listen, if he didn't give you an armor, why? What did he give you the armor for and say, put on the what? Whole armor. Because that means you was going to have to use that armor what? To what? He gave you a sword. What you going to do with it? Fight. And so this is what we have to do as believers. We got to stay. And the beauty is that we play offense and we play defense. Come on now. We can defend ourselves and we can go forward. Right? And so this is that's what the Horse Gate gave us the importance of. And so we also talked about the East Gate. And so the East Gate was talking about the tradition that Yeshua came through that gate when he came into the city. And so that means that it spoke to us that he was getting ready to come back. He was coming back. And so let's go here. I want to take you to John the 9th chapter. And I'm going to finish this today. John 9, 1-6. And the reason why we are concerned that Yeshua's coming back is that we had a work to do. We had a job to do. And I told you last week how with my parents on a Saturday, they were working. And Saturday was a day where we didn't have to go to school. But there was stuff that needed to be done. Our rooms needed to be cleaned. There were some dishes that needed to be done. So there was some housework that needed to be done. So it's like, listen, we're getting ready to go. But when we come back, you better have that stuff done. I mean, I don't know if people grow up like that anymore where they got to do stuff. We were kids. Some of y'all are like 20, 30 years old still living in mom and daddy's house. Should I say that? Mm. And you don't want to do the work. There's work that needs to be done. And so our thing was like, do the work before I get what? Back. And so that's what Yeshua was saying. So when we go to John 9, it says, and Yeshua passed by and he saw a man which was blind from birth. First verse. And his disciples asked, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, or that he was born blind? Listen, we just got work that we need to do. We don't need to worry about why he blind. What happened? No, there's just an immediate need. Right? It's just like what Pierre and Judy are doing. They don't ask questions. Why y'all here? They just, how'd you get here? No, you just what? Meet the people at their need. Just do the work. You don't have to try to figure this thing out. Just what? Do the work. He just, listen, he just told me to help people. That's it. And so Yeshua, they're like, hey, well, you know, not that the fact that, oh man, this dude is blind and he needs help. Well, why is he blind? Did his parents sin, or was he born that way? Or what happened? And the third verse says, what? Yeshua answered, shut up. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. I mean, I could just see the look on his face. What are you talking about? I mean, there's a need here. But that the works of Yahweh should be what? Made manifest. There's a need, and here's an opportunity in this need for the power of Yahweh to be at manifest, for the power of Yahweh to be at work, for us to see a miracle, for us to see the power. I don't know about you, but I want to see the power. Today, we should be able to see the power. Today, I mean, in the book of Acts, man, their shadows were passing over people. And then by their shadows passing over people, people was healed. We just need a handful of folks that believe that could happen today. I'm just saying, we just need some people to believe in miracles. And so the fourth verse says what? This is Yeshua. This is Yeshua. This is Yeshua. Our example. And he said, dude, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because what? Night is coming. No man can work. I got to do it now. There is an immediate need that he has created me for. This is what I'm saying to you. There is an immediate need that he's created you for. There is a purpose in you. There's something that he wants you to do. And let me tell y'all, God knows. I didn't want to be standing up here doing this. I ran. I told the apostle, I said, I never do what you do. I wasn't being disrespectful, but I was just like, you can have that. But it was pulling on my life. And the more it pulled, the more I pulled away. That's why y'all, come on, give a dude a break. I had to kick up my heels. I was running. Want to do this? Sometimes when y'all are calling you to something, it's big. It may seem big. It may just seem. But apostle must have known something. Come to my house. I just had my daughter. We just had a baby. 11 years ago. And I was like, he was like, son, I want to come by the house. And I was like, come on. I'm like, you want to see the baby? Oh, that's cool. Come on. And he wanted to see the baby? Yeah. But in seeing the baby, he said, well, you know, your father and everything. And I just think that you really have a call, you know, to work with the youth. And I said, well, I can do that. Well, he was like, yeah, but you know, I kind of want you to do it in a bigger way, you know. I said, well, I'm already working. I don't need it. He was like, well, you know, it's just that sometimes, you know, yeah, maybe a title doesn't mean anything to you, but the people, you know, they just need to know that they can look to you. I said, so what do you want me to do? He said, well, I just need you to be the youth pastor. And I said, oh, no. They know. He was like, you don't have to be a pastor. Just work with the youth, and the title pastor just gives you, you know, that authority that you need when you're working with them. So I said, well, all right. I'm gonna do that. I just work with the kids. He was like, all right. Walks away. So then I'm sharing with the kids, you know, and I was like, I ain't preaching. When I'm with the kids, I'm just sharing. That's it. You know, and I may, you know, I'm just sharing. And so back then we had youth takeover, but, you know, we would just do some of the youth would sing. I think the group Faith would sing. And, you know, it was, you know, he would preach the message and, you know, the young people would sing and we play. And, you know, that was the extent of it. So months went by, and then he says, well, you know, I hear that you're, you know, kind of successful in sharing with kids, you know. I was like, yeah, it's working out, you know, I guess, you know, receptive. So, well, yeah. Well, you know, we have youth takeover service, right? And I was like, yeah. You know, you guys sing? I was like, yeah. He was like, don't you think you should take over the message? I was like, no, you doing the message. Nobody, who's going to do that? Who's going to take over the message? Well, you know, if you have something, son, if you have something to share. didn't he? Man, he worked. You know what? He was real smooth with that. That was the Holy Ghost, though. So I happen to have worked on a sharing about love. And so he was like, well, if you guys, and I didn't tell him that, but I was just, you know, I was just doing it for the group. And so he said, well, why don't you just share to the people? You know, just do it in the same way. You just got a few more people. He probably don't remember that. You know, but I do. I remember every word. I was like. And so that Sunday, I share it to the congregation, and I have been sharing ever since. I was running at first. But listen, I must work the works. He just said it. I gotta work the works. Tell yourself I gotta work the works of him that sent me. Tell your neighbor, we gotta work the works. While it is day, because night comes. And so we've all been commissioned to do this. Okay, so let's go to 1 John in the second chapter, the 28th verse. I'm almost finished. 1 John, and this speaks to people that have purpose, man, and we all have a purpose. There is something that all of us should be doing. And I'm so thankful to know and see people that are working in their purpose and to support that. And encourage more people to step out on faith, because it's a faith walk. Walk doing this purpose stuff is faith. So 1 John in the second chapter, or 1 John the second chapter, 28th verse says, and now little children, abide in him, live in him, that when he shall appear, because Yeshua is coming back, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him. He's coming back. And what would make you shame? Him coming back and saying, yo, so what did you do while I was gone?
Well, so-and-so was already doing it. So,
No. He said, I called you to do something. What'd you do? My God, it's quiet in here. Because you're going to have to answer for that. And the beauty is that the very last gate, hallelujah, the Mifkat gate, or the inspection gate. Mifkat means appointed. That was the gate where your appointment was made. You were appointed or inspected to find out if you was genuine. So he's coming back. Now the last gate is the gate that kind of certifies. Like, are you really who I called you to be? You're really doing what you're supposed to be doing. Go here to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. My God. What does this mean? You're going to have to answer for what you do. Guess what? You're going to have to answer for what you don't do. Wow. No way out. You're going to be there and have the answer as a believer for what you did. Or for what you did in 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, 9th verse. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of him. 10th verse says, for we must. So just a couple of us. Only the pastor. Only the ministers. Tell your neighbor, all of us. Must appear before the judgment seat of Mashiach, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Ooh. Whether it be what?
Good.
Or what?
Bad.
Who has the answer for it? This is, let me help y'all for it. Let me lace y'all up for a minute. You spend an awful lot of time trying to judge and examine other people. Oh, look at what they doing. Hold up. What are you doing? You want to judge? You want to talk about what they, but what are you doing? And you know, it's really funny how people, you know, there's a lot of people here that serve, but it's really funny how the people that are not serving are pointing at the people that are serving. Look at them, what they're doing, but you're not serving. You want to, why the choir do that? Why the pastor do that? Why the teacher say this? But you're not even doing anything. Yes, you are. You holding up that seat real good. But we want to point. You got to answer for yourself. 2 Corinthians 13. 13th chapter, the 5th verse. Examine. Why are you hollering? Because I'm waking you up. Examine my brother. Examine my sister. We good. You know, y'all real good in examination.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, last Tuesday, she came in here, and then last, you know, the Thursday before last, you know, and then last year, they said, you even know the dates. So that means you're so busy looking at other folks and you got the dates and you can tell me it was last Tuesday at 3:57. But when we come you out, you can't even say nothing about yourself. So the scripture is speaking to you. And if I could add something before the fifth chapter, but just before that five and... No, I mean, you know, before that examine, shut up. And examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. So it was like, examine yourself and improve your own self. This is sharp language. Stop in your tracks. And let's do less of that. Let's do less of examining everybody else and look in the mirror. Right. Okay. Yeah. What are you supposed? And you're so busy on examination ministry that you can't even do what Yahweh has really called you to do. There's a work that he has placed right in front of you and you can't see it because you own, on the examination ministry. You own spiritual patrol, driving by, following people. They'll forget somebody coming back. Well, Pastor Tom, you know, I saw so-and-so's car parked in front of so-and-so's house, and it was like, you know, 2:00 in the morning. What business of that is yours? What are you doing rolling the streets at 2 a.m.? You on patrol. You, what do they call that? Stalking. But you can't find your purpose and what you're supposed to be doing. I'm telling you right now, stalking is not it. Stalking ministry doesn't exist. Help us, Father. Examine. Greek, perezo. And that means to scrutinize, to test your own self. You scrutinizing yourself. This is your job. You on self-examination ministry. Not everybody else examination. And so it says, scrutinize yourselves whether you be in the faith. That's a strong statement. Because you know you got these holy rollers that believe that they're so much more spiritual than everybody else. Ooh, it's getting quiet now. And they can call up somebody else. But it says, examine, perezo, scrutinize yourself. Find out if you're really in the faith. And then prove, dokimazo, means approve, to deem worthy. Not somebody else, you're deeming somebody else is worthy, but you deeming that yourself is worthy. For when he comes back, what have you done? And it says, know ye not your own selves? Go back to the fifth verse. How that Yeshua Mashiach is in you? You're acting a fool, but don't you know he's what? In you? Examine what? Yourselves. People, there's so much work to be done in this kingdom. The word says the harvest is ripe. And the laborers are few. We need more laborers. Tell your neighbor, we need you. We need to work. Even when I look out and I saw
I went Tuesday to Fifth and Town. There were, I would say a good, 15 or people? 15 or 20 people? But there were like 200 in need. How do 15, 10, 20 people, how can we meet a need of 200? The harvest is ripe. There's 200 people out there or more. But we can't find no laborers. We find some, but not enough. We need to prep. We need to serve. These are the things that Yeshua is expecting us to accomplish before he returns. We need to speak life into people. We need to pray and agree. We need to see transformation take place. We've been called to do that. And if you believe that, say, I've been called to do that. We've got to have an effect on people's lives. And so go to 2 Kefa or Peter. And that's the last thing that I'm going to share with you today. 2 Kefa, 2 Peter, the third chapter. I will say this. There is scripture that says, when I needed you to eat meat, he's talking about the believer. I need you to grow up. I needed you to do the things that grown believers do, but you're still drinking milk. We've got to rebuild. We've got to mature. We got to stop sucking on Similac and get some of this spiritual meat growth. And if you're a vegetarian, this spiritual festival. That we, you know, that we can grow up on, you know, we get this so that we can go out and do the work. Who knows that there's a work out there? And he's looking for soldiers. He's looking for people that is not afraid to get their hands dirty. And I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer of this, y'all. If he's called you to a work, he will give you everything you need to do it. Come on. Everything. If he's giving you vision, he will give you provision. Everything that you need to take care of it. So it's time for us to grow up and get to work. We got to get to work while this day night cometh. And 2 Peter 3:17 says this, ye therefore, beloved, knowing or seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The enemy does not want to see this work done. He wants to try to discourage us. He wants to try to, but no, we're going to do this. We're going to stay encouraged. And he just told us, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And 18 says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Who's ready to get to work for the kingdom, to be used, to be filled? Hallelujah. To be used, to be filled. You say, Father, here I am. Here I am, Father. Use me. Use me. I want to be used by you. Father Yahweh, we just come to you right now, thankful you have, by your word and by your spirit, shown us what we need to do as believers. And why is all this effort needed
Because your kingdom needs to be expanded, because you need to use us, because you need to grow us up and train us. And so that comes from your word, that comes from your spirit. So Father, we're opening up. Help us. Let us be blessed to be a blessing unto you, Father. We want to work this work while it is day, because night is coming where no man can work. But right now, it's day. And so work in us. Set us on fire with a fervency that we can understand and see what it is that you need from us, so that we can be those believers. You said in your word, you're seeking the true worshiper that would worship you, serve you in spirit and in truth. Father, look no further. We want to be those that you're seeking. Help us. And we thank you for it. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise this morning. If you just bow your head for just a moment.